Did you know that a lot of people don't know how to relax? They don't know how to slow down. A lot of people, probably none of you here, but a lot of people in the world don't know how to relax, how to slow down, how to just maybe stop sometimes. In fact, studies have shown that the average North American today is sleep deprived. No amens, okay? And as a general fact, and this is just a general fact, that we get 2 hours less sleep a night, people do, than people did like 50 years ago. So, again, that's an average sort of guess. If you're a gamer, that you don't fit into this equation, because 3 hours of sleep a night, when you finish gaming at 4 or 5 in the morning and you have to get up at 8 or something like that. You don't count, and sleep deprived is just part of who you are. But we get less sleep, and I've heard this kind of stuff on radio and studies and those kind of things. But they seem to suggest that we struggle with relaxation and rest. Now, if you don't, yay for you. But a lot of people are kind of like the description in Job 20:18, where it says, and this is a message paraphrase, Job 20:18, they're unable to relax and enjoy anything they've worked for. It says something like that in there. Actually, one of the other versions says, they spit out their food half-chewed, unable to relax and enjoy anything they've worked for. That's gross, but it's in the Bible. Actually, someone was staying at our house over the weekend, and they were some extended family, and we were making breakfast on Saturday morning, and three of us were sitting at the table, and one person was in the kitchen just making a coffee, and they're just like eating their breakfast, standing at the counter, waiting for the coffee to go. Oh yeah, you do that, right? And I said, you want to come and sit down? No, I'll just eat right here. And then they're off and on to, need to get on to the next thing. And I'm just like, I don't even know how the food digests there. But sometimes God has to teach us things about balance in life, and which we actually have to learn over and over again. It's funny, You might say, oh yeah, I learned to balance in my life. And then a few weeks later, it's like, man, I need some balance in my life. And we learn those things sort of over and over again, and sometimes God has to teach us that. In Exodus 23, verses 29 to 30, God said to the Israelites when they were going into the promised land, one version puts it this way, I'm not going to give you everything I've promised you in a single year because you're not prepared to handle that much blessing, and it will be too much for you to manage. Instead, you'll take possession of what I want to give you little by little so that you can grow. Then you'll be strong enough to handle it all. There's a saying, there's a phrase, I don't know if if all of you will get this, but it says that Rome wasn't built in a day. It's a saying that means there's a need for time to create great things. Anything worthwhile takes time to build or create. God doesn't want you to accomplish it all at once, because while God's growing your business, he's growing you. While God's growing your children, he's growing you. While God's growing your career or whatever else is in your life that's important to you, he's growing you as well. And he says, I want you to learn. I want you to learn little by little, not all at once. The fact is, God considers rest as important as work, and God smiles on you when you rest. Now, if you're a parent and you've ever gone in and you've watched your child sleep, yeah, some of you are going like, oh, you go in and you watch your child sleep. You know that the joy that gives you just watching them sleep. This little guy went to sleep this week one evening as a 2-year-old, and when he woke up, he was 3. And that's my grandson, Lincoln, and we love him. And so, again, as a parent, if you've ever gone in and watched your kids sleep, you know the joy that gives you just seeing them there. Well, God, too. Exodus 31:17 says this. You'll love this. One day a week will always serve as a reminder that I made the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then on the 7th day I rested and relaxed. Another version puts it this way. Work 6 days only, for the 7th day is a special day to remind you of my covenant, a weekly reminder forever of my promises to the people of Israel. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and rested on the 7th day and was refreshed. But why did God rest on the 7th day? He wasn't tired, right? He rested on the seventh day. He wasn't tired. God doesn't get tired. And God never gets tired. I think I'm safe there. But he was modeling for us what he wanted us to do. To rest. To find a time of rest. To find a time to relax. Maybe even to keep a Sabbath. A day of rest. To have balance and to relax in the goodness of God. Now we're in this series called Living in the Goodness of God. And we're looking at Psalm 23. And we'll just look at it together. It should be up here on the screen in a moment. There it is. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When you better understand what God's done for you and wants to do for you in the future, I think you can better learn to rest. You can learn to let down. You can learn to let go. You can live better in the goodness of God. Now in that psalm, the Lord is my shepherd psalm, one of the things that a good shepherd does is they make sure the sheep get enough rest in order to stay healthy. And that takes us to the first two verses of that. The Lord is my shepherd, so I have everything I need. He makes me lay down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. Those images are actually a metaphor. Those images represent rest and refreshment. When he makes me lie down in green pastures, that's rest. When he leads me beside quiet waters, that's refreshment. And just think about those words for a minute. He makes me. Or maybe your version says, he causes me. Has God ever had to make you lay down for your own health's sake because you just couldn't slow down? You see, I think if we won't lay down, at some point God will make you lay down. It'd be nice if it was in green pastures, but he will make you lay down. And sometimes the only way God can get you to look up is to lay you flat on your back. And people have said that before. They've experienced that. And he will do that because he's the good shepherd and he cares about your health and he cares about your physical, emotional, spiritual, every area of your health. To give God my best requires rest. To give God my best actually requires rest. If you don't have rest, then you're going to be stressed. That kind of runs, doesn't it? If you don't have rest, then you're going to be stressed. In fact, the difference between being blessed and being stressed is often rest. Isn't it so often true that things look better after a good night's sleep? And we heard that as like a cure, you know, like, you have a good night's sleep. Things will look better in the morning. I don't know, they're the same, but somehow after a good night's rest, things sometimes, maybe it's just more manageable, more dealable, more less stress on us at that point after we've had some rest. The difference between being stressed and being blessed is often rest. The Lord is my shepherd, and sometimes he makes me lay down even when I don't want to. Sleep is part of that. Have you ever seen that kid or that child that's great, you know, fun videos on social media are made of this all the time. That child trying to stay awake, that's great, right? There's maybe a bowl of cereal in front of them, or maybe they're just sitting there and their eyes are closed and they're just trying to stay awake, you know? It's you just sit there and be entertained for a while, you know? And when we look at Scripture, we see that God rests. We just talked about that. we see that Jesus rested many times. He had advances and retreats and advances and retreats in his 3.5 years of ministry that we read about. And Jesus rested. And if we're going to be like Christ, like Jesus, then I think we also need to learn how to rest, how to relax in the goodness of God. The thing really is, how do we do that? How do you relax in God's goodness? Well, first, I want to mention that there are many reasons people don't relax or people don't rest. And here are a few, what the Bible says about them. One of the reasons people don't relax and rest is there's a misplaced identity, basing my worth on my work. There's a misplaced identity. I base my worth on my work. People can confuse their work and their worth. They confuse their net worth with their self-worth or their value with their valuables. Ecclesiastes 10:15 says, oh, I love this. Only someone too stupid to find his way home would wear himself out with work. That's my favorite new verse. It's from the Good News Translation. Another version says, fools are so exhausted by a little work that they can't even find their way home. That's pretty blunt. But life is more than work. It's important, but your life is far more than the work you do. And so sometimes we have a misplaced, you know, identity. Sometimes it is about materialism, about wanting more. And it's that idea that when I have more things or want more things, then, you know, I've got to make more money. And when I've got to make more money, then I've got to work a little harder. And sometimes that means longer hours. And yet the Bible says in Proverbs 23:4-5, it warns us about materialism. It says, don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Have the wisdom to show some restraint. Your money can be gone in a flash, as if it had grown wings and flown away like an eagle. Another version says, don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Be wise enough to know when to quit. In the blink of an eye, wealth disappears, for it will sprout wings and fly away like an eagle. And I saw it written somewhere, said, maybe that's what the forefathers of our neighbor, the U.S., were trying to subtly say when they decided to put an eagle on the American dollar bill. You know? Just like easy folks, you know. Someone else said, you know, I don't know if you agree with this or not, or in some cases it might be true. Someone said, we spend the first half of our life perhaps sacrificing our health, overworking in order to get wealth. And then we spend the second half of our life sacrificing wealth in order to get back our health. Well, in Luke 12:15, Jesus says, just watch out. Just watch out. Guard yourselves. Watch out. Guard yourselves from every kind of greed, because your true life is not made up of the things you own, no matter how rich you may be. And so there's that misplaced identity, and then there's a materialism, and one other thing is envy, wanting to be like other people. Thinking back to some stories I read about the Industrial Revolution, and you know, folks used to, and the explosion of the middle class, and you know, folks used to come to church, and there would be a very separate group of people. There would be sort of the richer, I don't know if aristocracy is the right word, and then there would be the poor folks who came, and all they had was, you know, just a set of clothes. That was it, and it was just, there was poverty. And then the Industrial Revolution came along, and machines were made that could make clothing quickly and produce more, and soon the middle class was going, the ones they had admired so much and looked at and said, look at those hats, look at those clothes, look at those things. Now they were able to acquire those things, and soon church became a fashion show. Where people were dressing up, and they were just like those other folks they had wanted to be like so badly. And there was this thing going on in the church, to the point where some churches said, okay, let's get this under control. Your hat can be this size. And they had measurements for the size of hat that you could wear to church, and you know, the kinds of clothes. And there was just a whole movement about around that, because there was that idea of envy that had crept into the church. And then when this Industrial Revolution came along, people could access more of this stuff, and it became a real thing. And Solomon, back in the Bible, Solomon noticed this problem of envy thousands of years ago. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, I've also learned why people work so hard to succeed. It's because they envy the things their neighbors have, but it is useless. It is like chasing the wind. So, how do we do this? How do I learn to relax? How do I live a more balanced life? Can I live a less stressed or more blessed life? I think instead of living a restless life, how in the world do I live a rest-filled or restful life? Well, you've got to trust your shepherd. We talked about that, didn't we? You've got to trust your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. I have everything I need. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he will lead me beside still waters. If you're following God, if you're following the Good Shepherd, he's not going to lead you into the path of being consumed or the path of the rat race. He's going to lead you to lay down in green pastures, and he's going to lead you beside still waters. And that happens, first of all, when I remember my value to God. That's the starting point, remembering my value and my worth to God. This is the exact opposite of basing your worth on your work. It's the opposite of basing your identity on your career. And it's counterculture, because when you meet somebody, what is generally the first thing we ask or we tell people? We tell them about our job, about what we do. We tell them about our status. I'm working, or I'm a student, etc. And I think something that's really important that we need to keep coming back to is to remember our value. You see, God created you. The Heavenly Father created you. God doesn't create anything without value. He doesn't create anything without purpose. God doesn't create anything without intention. The fact that you're alive means God loves you and wanted you. He created you. That's your value. And he puts his spirit inside you when you trust him. You'll never be any more valuable to God than you are right now. You will never be any less valuable to him because he made you. My kids are valuable to me, not because of what they do. It's because they're mine. We created them, Patty and I did. They're ours, and we love them. James 1:18 says, God decided to give us life through the word of truth so that we might be the most important of everything God has created. Do you know what that means? That means that you're valued by God more than the moon. You're more important to him than the Milky Way. You're more important to him than all of the animals, whether they're extinct or not. In God's book, you're more important than all of the rare flowers and all of the trees and all of the beauty of all the other creation. God decided to give us life through the word of truth so that we might be the most important of everything God created. Are we broken? Yeah. Have we and do we sin? Yeah. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. Are we flawed? Yes. Are we deeply loved by God? Yes. We are of greatest value. Well, the second thing that I do is I enjoy what I already have. That's being called content. Doesn't mean I don't get some other stuff along the way. It just means I enjoy what I already have. Contentment doesn't come natural to human beings. By nature, we seem to be discontented. By nature, we're not resting sheep. We're restless sheep. And sometimes that can be used to an advantage, but most often it's a stress upon us. And in Philippians, we read, I know what it is, Paul wrote, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, better to have one handful with quietness than two handfuls with hard work and chasing the wind. It's better to have a little with peace. You see, the thing is, in our Western world, it's considered a tragedy to die penniless. Oh, she or he died penniless. But like, what a better time to go. Right? I mean, the moment you spend your last cent, you're out of here. That's just brilliant living. Again, in Ecclesiastes 3, all of us should enjoy what we have worked for. It is God's gift. God says, enjoy what you've got while you've got it. Resting is the way to blessing. Thirdly, this is an interesting one. Limit my work. I put in brackets there 6 days a week. I'm just throwing it out there. And you might say you're kidding. I'm saying, like, if we're not doing that, are we breaking one of the Ten Commandments? Rest and recreation are so important to life that God put it in the Big Ten. The Ten Commandments, right up there with don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't lie. He says, something about taking a day off. I'm not making this stuff up. It's really there. Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. This is in the Ten Commandments. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath rest, day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. Excuse me. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested. That's why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. It's interesting, isn't it? Because we would say, I would never murder anybody. I'd never commit adultery. But are we taking a Sabbath rest? It's a tricky one in life. It's a tricky one in our life. But I'm just pointing out that that's how important God considers rest and relaxation in our lives. A Sabbath means a day of rest. And somehow God has biologically wired us for a day of rest, and it's not for his benefit. It's not just some arbitrary law. God did it so we wouldn't burn out. And in culture after culture after culture, it's for our benefit. In Mark, Jesus said the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet requirements of the Sabbath. In other words, God didn't make that idea of the Sabbath for his benefit. He made it for ours. And when I ignore God's laws, who gets hurt? It's not God. It doesn't mean I don't love God or that I'm not a Christian. If, you know, I haven't been doing this, it means that when I don't follow his plan and instruction, I lose out on his best. I get hurt when I don't follow the owner's manual. And so it doesn't matter what day of the week we take a Sabbath, what day you worship on, what day you take as a day off, as your day of rest, your day of recreation. It doesn't matter the day. I think the manual just says that we do it or work toward it. And there's a promise in Proverbs 14:30, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. There's that tip again, another tip for your health and longer life. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. We talked about worry last week. We're talking about rest this week. The rest of that verse goes on to say, an envy rots the bones, but I just wanted to point that part out to you. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Well, another thing, maybe in learning to live and to rest in God's goodness, I need to adjust some of my values. I might have to do that. If we were to reduce the busyness in our lives, it might require a change to the way we think about what's important. In Mark, you know, it says, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Well, the answer is nothing. It's not good at all. Well, another thing I might have to do is exchange my restlessness for God's peace. I don't know if you've ever experienced restlessness. You know, you're just like, I don't know what's going on. I just need to relax. But something's got me. But I don't know what it is. Even I feel like I'm supposed to be doing something or I'm missing something. And so sometimes I just have to exchange my restlessness for God's peace. Just take a breath and say, God, just give me your peace. You see, maturity includes knowing how to rest. Apparently, sheep don't like to lay down. I read this. I don't know by experience. I read this, that apparently sheep don't like to lay down. They eat and eat and eat, and they stand there, and sometimes, you know, I was reading somewhere where it says they even bump into each other when they're eating because that's all they're focused on. They just they just keep eating. And to properly digest, they need to rest, they need to lie down. And sometimes the shepherd has to go and make them lie down. I don't know if it's true, but that's what I read. And I read some different sources on it. Sometimes the shepherd has to go and make them. He makes me lie down. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lay down. Now, who was it that wrote this psalm? Do you know the 23rd psalm? Who wrote it? David? Okay, yeah. And what did David do for many of his early years? He was a shepherd. So when he writes this psalm, he knows what he's talking about. When it comes to shepherding, to what a shepherd does, he makes me lay down in green pastures. If you never slow down, at some point God will make you lay down. In Matthew, Jesus is talking, and in the paraphrase called The Message, it says this: are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. And I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I like that. That sounds to me like a good way to live. And you see, we can rest in the goodness of God when we remember my value to God, when we enjoy what we already have, when we limit our work, when we adjust our values in the way we sometimes think, and when we exchange our restlessness for God's peace. Those things will help us to be able to relax in God's goodness. Because as Psalm 127:2 says, it's senseless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, fearing that you won't have enough. For God wants his loved ones to get their proper rest. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters for my rest and for my refreshment. And for yours. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this 23rd psalm that we've been looking at. Lord, I thank you that even counter to culture and contrary to some things, you call us to rest. You call us to rest in you. You call us to relaxation. And Lord, sometimes that's really looked on in a a negative way in our plans and in our society, and people, you know, sort of say the more you work, the harder you work, the greater things will be, and the more you'll get known, and the more you will make. But Father, you call us to find that place of rest. You actually wired us to need rest and relaxation more than just going to sleep and closing our eyes sometimes at night. But Father, that we would take that time to rest. God, you know, I mean, your word is there, and you say, hey, this is how it works. And we go, it's way more complicated than that, Lord. You know my job. You know the responsibilities I have. You know the second job I have and the responsibilities I have. And so somewhere in all of that, I pray we would find what was said there, that rhythm of your grace that allows us to rest, to take a Sabbath that you've called us to take. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would cause that to be a thought in our hearts and our minds, that we would talk with you about it. And Father, that we would find some way to be obedient to you in those things as well. I ask it and thank you in your precious name. Thanks for caring about us and loving us. Amen.